what the local advisory board mentioned in terms of our two-member model when we're talking about the bylaws is that we would begin to send out notices of rallies and different progressive things that we do to everyone and trying to get as many people as possible to join the committees to actually do some of the work, not just at the station, but in the community as a whole. So those and the other thing that I cannot forget is that we must support locally based artists. One of the things that we did on the outreach show is for the Thanksgiving, we had some youth, hip-hop youth, the Sister Afik, who came to show their local talent, because one of the things that happens is that when we support locally based artists, usually they have a good pulse on the community, on the audiences, and on the listeners, so we support, and they're more progressive. So those are some of the things that we can actually do right now before we get an actual person in the job and that we're working on.
Just a footnote on this. The things that Rabia just mentioned, the community access programs and the hip-hop youth programming and supporting local artists, all of that will happen, not may happen or can happen. That will happen at WPFW, I assure you. All right?
Okay, Marion.
Let me ask. Sam, in terms of the addition of three members to the local advisory board, what process did you use and what criteria did you use in selecting, or how did the three people get named?
This was the second meeting where we had people added. The first one, the criteria was having attended a good series of meetings of the local advisory board, which had basically been our criteria prior to that. For the three most recent ones, one was a listener, but two others were staff programmers. And there had been a lack of attendance from a previous person who was a staff programmer, and we need to have representation on the left. So those two were very urgent people to be added on, and there were also diversity considerations in terms of adding them.
Were the listeners of WPFW informed that the local advisory board was going to name additional people to the board, and if they were interested in getting in touch with you all?
Well, I mean, we've been urging people to come to the local advisory board meetings and so on for
time. Did you specifically?
We did not. I think the question, and it's a fair one, is did we announce a priori, we will be adding people to the lab, here's how you come and here's how you do it, and so on and so forth. I don't know if Jabari would like to speak up on this as well. I don't have any recollection of us explicitly outwardly publicizing that.
Well, it seems to me that in keeping with Pacifica's mission and the recent discussions on this board about outreach and diversity and inclusion, you all should have let the listeners know that you were going to do that, and if people were interested to either come to the meetings or to do something to indicate their interest. Again, it just sort of perpetuates what I would call sort of an in-house kind of operation.
Can I just intervene for 1 second? This is maybe one example of a kind of problem that's happened historically around the network and why the decision was made to move to electing these local boards as a way to not have this problem over and over again, you know, be it in Washington or any place else.
Right.
And that's part of the motivation for moving to elections.
Right. Well, it seems to me, Leslie, that Sam and others have been hearing this, because we've been talking about this since I've been on this board, about how you become more democratic, how you let listeners
Right,
know.
But again, I don't think there's going to be any more appointments to local boards, right? This process is done. We're going to move soon into an election phase.
Well,
it's good to point it out, but I'm saying we now, based on that those problems in the past.
Well, I guess my other question that would be, since these elections are going to take place after we adopt the bylaws, and hopefully the three of the five labs adopt them also, why you would add anybody at this point, I guess.
That's saying we shouldn't.
Yeah.
There shouldn't be any more adding
people. Yeah, I agree.
Right.
Also, let me just say that I've been a supporter of WPFW from its inception, both financially and otherwise, politically. And I've watched the operations. And I want to commend Tony. I think he's done an outstanding job, a tremendous job.
Thank you.
I'm not only listening, but doing something about what he heard. You know, some people just sit and listen and then go back to sleep, you know. But he's not done that.
I'd like to add on to that and commend.
I get the impression the relationship between the lab and the general manager has improved tremendously.
Yeah, I think it is. I'd like to commend Tony in particular for his trying to, as he puts it, putting the message into the music. And improving the quality of the schedule is still largely music, and I think that that's well and proper, but he's, I think, done a good job of injecting a new vibrancy to the music. I think that's been a major contribution that I don't think he even mentioned
finally, now.
And one other thing that we're moving towards is a news director and so on to spruce up the news operation, and I think we're going to be moving forward on that together.
Well, I'm hopeful that Tony and you all will follow through on this hip-hop programming, local artist programming, and young people. I mean, I talk to a lot of people, they never even heard of WPFW. And part of it is that, you know, there's nothing that they see there for them. Dick, I mean, I'm sure you heard the same thing. So I hope that you all follow through on, really.
Well,
Mayor, we do have a program that was introduced in May. It's a program that airs every Sunday evening from 7 to 8. It's called 2K Nation. And this program is a pilot program for how we at WPFW can engage our youth, get them involved with media. We enlisted, first of all, to help this program get started, students in the Literary Media Arts Department at Duke Ellington School of the Arts, who we've adopted as producers and programmers. They're producing the program themselves. They're hosting the program. They're working on the engineering board. They're writing, booking guests. All of this is being done by the students. The adults are on the periphery as mentors, but they do the work. And it has given us at WPFW the chance to see how we can work with the youth so that we can move further and implement some of the things that have been suggested, particularly with regard to hip-hop.
Now, this is a long program occasion.
Okay, I know Teresa also wanted to throw a question.
One more comment.
Okay, sorry.
I just don't think that 1 hour out of 168 hours a week is enough. That's all.
Sir, I would agree with you, Marion, and I think that the local advisory board, I think, has done a good job with the station, hand-in-hand, of bringing in, when we say the independent media centers, that's largely young people coming in, getting trained. They're starting to have an impact on the morning newscast, for example, so it's becoming less commercialized in its impact and bringing in a vibrancy of a lot of young people. And we've also, Tony and I, have talked extensively about going to local university, going to the schools of communication. We've touched base on that,
students.
Howard, American University, and so on.
Okay, cool. Teresa.
I want to say, Tony, I think this is, maybe it was in New York when I originally noticed how vibrant your interaction is with the community. The thanks and giving program sounds so exciting, and the number of community events was so exciting. I do want to ask, though, about your timeline for your news director. You've talked about it. And specifically, have you mentioned on the air that you have a position open, or specifically, when are you expecting to have a news director?
Well, hopefully, that person can be on board, in place, hired by February. What Sam and I need to do is, and we've discussed this, but not in finalized detail, is put together the language for the posting, and then there'll have to be a lab search committee working in conjunction with me to do the interviews of this person, who certainly will have to be progressive and energetic and active and dynamic and committed to Pacifica. And we know there are people out there. We want to talk to them, and, you know, we want to get somebody on board as soon as we can.
Okay, folks, what I want to do actually is this is an opportunity for some of the other community folks from Washington to also raise their questions or concerns or ideas or whatever. So I'm going to take whoever from Washington wants to speak to that, and then we need to wrap this part up so we can move on to the other stations.
Okay, I just wanted to add one thing. One of the newest additions to the WPFW family has been Reem Katkuda. Reem Katkuda has done a marvelous job. She's done a marvelous job of bringing forth some energy that we certainly appreciate and hope to utilize in a much more comprehensive way.
Okay, thank you. Okay, the people who are online now, please, can we just move to the folks that are online?
Just wanted to mention that the Local Advisory Board show will be on Thursday morning, 11:30 a.m.
Okay, thanks. Folks, just because we're running late and there's a lot of you, if everyone could just keep their comments really brief, that would help a lot. Thanks.
Yeah, my name is Paul Purnell. I'm a longtime supporter.
Also, folks, in the auditorium here, everybody, the acoustics in here are really not great. You know, the sound bounces all over the room. So everyone, please be quiet. Mary? So everybody, thanks, so we can hear you.
Thank you. My name is Paul Purnell. I'm a longtime supporter of WPFW and the Pacifica Network. And I just wanted to speak briefly about some of the outreach efforts that WPFW has been involved with. I chair the board of directors of the Harambe Africa AIDS Initiative, and our mission very quickly is to heighten people's awareness of the pandemic of AIDS in Africa, where 30 million people are infected. We estimate that about 17 million people have died, and about 6,000 people die every day. We've been working in partnership with WPFW, and Tony Ragusa's, when he made his report, he talked about the AIDS programming that happened over the last week, beginning last Sunday on with AIDS World AIDS Day. And I just wanted to talk about some of the impact of that, which I think has been pretty astounding and tremendous, because even prior to that week of programming, Tony's been working with us, and other members of the staff have been working with us. And as a result of that, we've had people come together that include activists and public health people, graduate students in public health and international relations, medical students, people living with AIDS and HIV, substance abuse treatment providers have all come together to deal with a lot of these issues. And there's been a really overwhelming response. We've been getting calls from people every day, including a lot of people who've been on the you know, kind of not involved in these efforts and not really typically involved in advocacy or political activities. So I wanted to thank Tony for his leadership in that. He's met with us on those kinds of issues. And I really kind of wanted to make a plea that this would be something that could become more national. Because I think what has happened has been a real good demonstration of what Pacifica is all about, what we can do when we own the airwaves, and we hope that we can have a national effort in that regard. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning. I'm Grigsby Hubbard, longtime supporter and continuing supporter of WPFW and this network. It's only the understandable urgency of the question of the bylaws, which is still before this board, that brings me to take a minute of time to pose the question for the people at the lab and anyone else who wants to comment on that as to how well their position reflects the work of their own bylaws committee. We took very seriously, a number of us, the deadlines and the imperatives and all of the things we're talking about this weekend, came up with a draft and recommendations, including vetting it with a California attorney, which in some cases wasn't terribly difficult since at least one of my children is that. And had recommendations which curiously are not unlike what's before us now. We decided that while the KPFA model was not a perfect mechanism, it had some merit, and not the least of them, the fact that it's been tested and reflects some of our other principles, and it was the clear sense of that committee that that's what we wanted. We went and took it through, and at that point had done things like research vendors and were ready to do elections. Now, as recently as this last Monday night's lab meeting, I was in attendance, it's fair to say, only for the first 2.5 hours, and I didn't see anything from that committee work reflected, and this is not to bring censor or to wrap a genuine question, wrap a contentious confrontation as a genuine question. It is a genuine question, and I do want to suggest that there is a more nuanced discussion that's worth taking a look, even as we look to resolve that issue coming from this signal area. And there's a lot of work and a lot of resources to draw on here, and I hope that we're continue to be a part of that. But that's a question we have for the lab.
Okay, thank you.
Peace. My name is Ingrid Drake, and I am a Washington, D.C. resident. I'm also participating in the proudly, I am, and also a first-time WPFW contributor.
Applauding her living in Washington. Yes. So.
Excuse me? Yeah, very proud. And also first-time listener sponsor financially this year of WPFW.
Yay.
I am also participating in the WBIX community radio journalism training with about 30 other people. Probably the most diverse training that I have ever participated in terms of age, national origin, the whole gamut. It's been exciting for me to be there. And professionally, I've been doing community youth development work in Washington, D.C. for the last 3 years. And because of my training, and in fact, I think the reason I started to do the training is because I wanted to create a bridge between WPFW and young people in D.C., who are a very big part of my life, personally and professionally. And now that I have the training skills, just last week I have taken a young woman who is a student at Eastern Senior High School, who was originally enrolled in JROTC, JROTC, her first hour of the day, and now she's dropped that class and she's going to be my intern.
Yeah.
And for half a credit, she'll be working with me and collecting sound with Reem and the rest of the radio journalists.
Yeah.
So that's some good news. But I also want to tell Pacifica Board some things I've already shared with Leslie and some other folks. But it's an older crowd here today, and around the country, some of the most exciting activism is happening and is driven by folks under 18. I'm a student of history, and never before have teenagers been so politically active. And I think Dick Gregory actually came to one of our workshops that I did with young people at Freshfields, and we were talking about the quality of food and how the quality of food in the cafeterias in the high school are making young people sick. And, I mean, these are young people who are challenging every bit of the systems that control their lives. And WPFW and Pacifica need to do a better job of reaching out to young people. And I think that Y2K Nation is a great program, but young people aren't going to tune in to that news program unless there's music on WPFW that they want to listen to. So one of my suggestions to WPFW is to make sure that there is some airplay for radio programming that reflects the listening tastes of DC youth, and that's rap and that's go-go. And that's a whole slew of other types of music that are exciting. And
I'm feeling you, my sister.
You're feeling me that. And I'm also saying, as a 20-something woman, a lot of my friends would want to hear that music as well. And
I got a 16-year-old son.
Right. And I think no need to go into that anymore. But also, for the Pacifica Board, I think it's important to set a target for 10 to 15% youth board seats. And you can't only just put youth on there. You have to all be trained in how to sit on a board with young people. Because there requires...
How about them being trained?
there requires some difference.
Some of us are still very, very young in many ways.
Yeah. There's a lot of needs that need to be taken into account. And there's a lot of groups who are willing to provide that kind of training at no cost. Just look on the web, and you know. Okay, so those are my main comments. But my last comment is also same vein. I think it's important to try to look towards creating a national program about youth activism, and it roves to different parts of the country based on who's doing what. But that it really targets, you know, specifically urban youth, not just college students, and their activism. So thank you for your time. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
I'll be watching.
Thank you. Again, we very much want to hear your comments. Folks, we're running tight on time, so if people can keep them short.
I'm Tom Gomez, and I'm from WBIX.
Mike.
I'm Tom Gomez. I'm from WBIX, which is the volunteer project at PFW. And I'm concerned as I listen to our coverage that we tend to ignore the community that we are in. We overemphasize what a small group of overwhelmingly white activists are doing as opposed to what a very large group of black and Latino citizens of Washington, D.C. are experiencing, which right now is overwhelmingly cuts in the budgets for schools, for health care, for housing. We tend to not have community leaders from this community giving commentary on these important issues. Leaders like Marion Barry's voices are absent on the air often. I'm concerned by who is not at the table as we talk about hiring or within this volunteer process. People such as Vanessa Dixon from the Healthcare Coalition, Sylvia from my sister's place, Arturo Griffiths, Brian Anders. I could go on and on and on with activists who have long history in this community, that I should be the point man on poverty within this group when I have, like, been in this community for only a year, is insulting to the residents of Washington, D.C. I do not want these people's concerns to be ignored as we talk overwhelmingly about national issues, and yet when we talk about hiring as well, often the process seems to me, having been here only for a limited time, to focus on, well, we have this person in Houston, we don't have a job for them, WPFW has some money in their budget for this position, can we just move them there? Instead of thinking of an open process of reaching out, of getting people with history here to talk about here. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Hakam Taqash, and I'm a listener, I'm a member, I'm in the training program, and I happen to be a Muslim as well. Pacifica has given voice to the voiceless over time and minorities. And Pacifica needs to do this with the Muslim community as well. They need to go out. They need to do outreach work, get the Muslims involved, give them hope, as you've given me hope, that I can stand up here and speak freely and say that I'm a Muslim. And that needs to be reflected in news as well as in cultural aspects of the programming. That's all I got. Thanks.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Joni
Just
Eisenberg.
Tilt the mic down. Right.
Joni Eisenberg. I'm the producer of To Heal DC, and I'd like to second what that gentleman just said. I'd also like to remind people what Dick Gregory said and Leslie said yesterday. We must let our light shine, and we must remember what we have in common. I think too often we're dichotomizing things, music against the message. Sometimes we're separating young from youth from the old. I think we had an example this week in our AIDS programming how we integrated a lot of different things. For instance, we had youth. The Student Global AIDS Alliance was very active in our week-long programming on HIV/AIDS. Students and young people were at the core of our programming. Thursday, in the middle of our blizzard, we had 10 young people traipse through the snow from southeast Washington east of the river to come in and share their rap music on HIV/AIDS with the listening audience. Later on that day, we had a whole choir of labor union activists, again in the middle of the snowstorm, singing their messages. So I think we need to do more of letting our light shining and showing and repeating what we are doing, the steps that we are taking to move the struggle forward. I'd also like to say, as we talk about youth, we should also remember seniors. I'd like to give a special shout out and thank you to Nat Turner, Don't Forget the Blues, who helped to found this station, who on Monday is receiving the Mayor's Arts Award. And we love you, Nat. We know that Nat would really never have received the award if it wasn't for PFW, where he comes on the air every Saturday. Nap is another example of you can't separate his music from the message. He's been in the front lines of many struggles, including the fight against substance abuse, and he's shared the words of Langston Hughes for years on this airwaves. So thanks to Nap Turner and WPFW for that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Josh Chaffin. I'm involved in the training program at WPFW. Thanks a lot to Tony and Reem and Eddie from the IMC and to all the people that are showing up for the training. And a special thanks to the WPFW staff who have been so patient with us and this whole new influx of people. There's some WPFW staff people here, I see, and we owe a lot to you. But I'm going to read a statement from Free Speech Radio News because this is the only opportunity we have to do that. We, Free Speech Radio News, are particularly proud to read this statement in the WPFW listening area because Free Speech Radio News needs and wants to be part of the process to identify and train grassroots reporters to start producing more D.C. news and by and about people in D.C. where the need is so great. One in four residents of the District of Columbia is illiterate. Meanwhile, the U.S. defense budget soared to $347 billion in 2003. And this is a statement from, hopefully, from we hashed this out, and this is hopefully represents the ideals of the 200 reporters that are in our reporter pool all over the planet. More reporters, by the way, than NPR. We really, really, really want to emphasize that we hope this statement is taken in the spirit of cooperation. This is not an adversarial thing at all. We call on the National Pacifica Executive Board to join us further in rebuilding the news gathering and production ability of Pacifica. Specifically, we would like to work with you in our efforts to develop grassroots reporters with close connections to communities underrepresented by the mainstream propaganda news. When it is possible for Pacifica in October 2003, once again, to do national and international news, we expect that Free Speech Radio News will be the national news gathering and producing group within Pacifica. We do not expect any other group to have that mandate. We have good relationships with the national executives, managers, and news staffs throughout the network. Within the past 6 months, for example, we have melded our aspiration for more local reporters in cities like Houston with KPFT's need to develop a local news department. We wanted to strengthen our coverage in D.C., both with our Capitol Bureau and within local communities of color, so we've worked with WPFW to develop ongoing reporting training. For example, in the past 3 weeks, we've had two headlines and two feature stories, like 4 to 5 minute feature stories on FSRN produced by local D.C. trainees. These are people with little or no radio experience who were empowered to have their voices heard on 60 U.S. radio stations and shortwave worldwide and on the Internet. And according to this beautiful Pacifica Affiliates report that Ursula produced, I quote, "Democracy Now! And Free Speech Radio News stand out in equal measure as the reason why radio stations become Pacifica Affiliates." Given these two experiences, we've located several areas where relatively small amounts of time and money in the national level would benefit Pacifica's five stations and improve FSRN. These are, one, strengthening the local news departments and programming at all stations. Two, the recreation of apprenticeship programs at all stations other than KPFA, which currently has such a program, to support more diversity and more voices within all communities. Three, national support for those within and without Pacifica to meet by end of February to discuss the future and structure of Pacifica's news. We support the idea of Pacifica funding for several one-day brainstorming conferences, perhaps at each of the three coasts. Four, work on a national news bureau located in Washington, D.C. should be coordinated and negotiated with the national FSRN bureau already located there to avoid duplicate efforts and provide the strongest possible outcome. Currently, Free Speech Radio News is preparing information on such topics as our work will increase to increase our national diversity as well as ongoing efforts toward more reporter and news diversity. We're looking at our own governance structure. We're looking toward the future with an eye to what news services the Pacifica stations and all our affiliates would like to develop. We expect to present this information to you early next year. Like everyone here today, the reporters and staff of FSRN feel an urgent need to strengthen our connections with those communities who, like Pacifica, are daily more threatened by the military-industrial fundamentalist corporate state. We are committing to doing what we do as well as and as hard as we can, including spreading information into as many remote corners of the U.S. and the world as we can. We know we can do it better, and because of the urgency we feel, we are here to ask your help. Thanks for your time. Stop the war.
Okay, thank you, Josh. Thank you. I don't know, but Josh, is that what's being handed out to us now, this statement that you just read? Oh, okay, because otherwise I couldn't take in half what he said.
Wait a minute. Josh, could we get an electronic copy, please? Hard copies are very difficult
absolutely.
To store.
Absolutely.
Would you email it to me?
Sure.
Thank you.
But also, if any of you out there have written statements of what you're going to give us, if you could give us those statements instead of taking time, we promise we'll read them.
Okay, no more people on the line, folks. Okay, I see that. I thought we were almost at the end of the line, and four more people jumped up. So who is on the line now is fine, but please no additions to the line.
Hi, my name is Matt Bradley, and I'm here to first back what we heard from Ingrid, Tom, Josh, and Hakeem, and secondly to speak as a member of the D.C. Independent Media Center and someone who has contributed to...
I'm sorry, one second. Folks, I'm going to say this one more time. I'm getting tired of hearing myself say it. Please don't talk in the room. Thank you.
I'd like to share my thoughts as a member of the D.C. Independent Media Center and someone who has been involved in the indie media phenomenon since its inception and doing independent media since high school some 10 years ago. Thanks to being a trainee in Reams and WPFW's training program, I've been able to contribute not only to Indie Media, but to Peace Watch in the past week. And as someone who's participated in grassroots news gathering, I think I'm a little concerned about the idea of appointing someone or even having an open process to get a news director, whether it be local or national, in a way that would simply open up the doors and invite someone to participate in what is still a pyramid structure. The best news that I've ever read, the news that got me involved, the news that radicalized me was what I read in Indie Media when it broke during the Seattle protest, and I got involved that day because there's technology that democratizes all of this process and allows you to get involved that day. And that's one of the best kinds of outreach for those who have the privilege to access that technology, so that is an issue. And then the other thing that got me involved later on with Pacifica and with WPFW was actually during the takeover when the staffs of PNN went underground and FSRN was formed, and when Democracy Now! Was kind of working its way through the back channels, and I was listening to it on WRPI in Troy, New York, and it was against the backdrop of real community radio, college students and kids coming in. And I really think we need to look more at the resources independent media centers have to offer and keep in mind that the real news, the news that can be broadcast on Pacifica that matters, that will set us aside from NPR and from ABC News and CBS News, is grassroots news. So it needs to be democratic. We can't have a pyramid scheme. It really doesn't work. Thanks.
Thank you. Good day. My name is Alan Barish. I'm a member of the LAB. I'm from Baltimore, Maryland. And if it weren't for WPFW, my poetry would not get on the air. WPFW has come a long way since about a year ago when I was driving to Burger King. And please forgive me, all you vegetarians. I was driving to Burger King and turned on the radio and heard someone talking over the song, You Are My Hero, talking about how the FBI, the CIA, and the U.S. government were heroes in 9-1-1. I lost my appetite immediately. WPFW needs to continue in the Pacifica, needs to continue the way it's going. It's the excellent series Connecting the Dots held my attention. And once again, it kept me out of the 7-Elevens because as a delivery driver, I couldn't bear to leave my car for a minute. However, there is one thing that needs, you talk about including people in this new ongoing process. As a member of the local advisory board, I find that the time when the local advisory board meets is rather difficult. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock in the middle of the week, there are a lot of people in the outlying area. I have to drive 80 miles round trip to go to a meeting, which is over at 9 o'clock. If you're talking about involving people in this new process, we need to talk about when the LAB meets, how it meets, where it meets, and every time I bring it up at the LAB, it's a struggle because people say, I can't make it. We need to, if we can take one day a month to go to an important march, why can't we take one day a month to meet on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon? Yes, it's going to take time from our busy days. But there are people like Yolanda Turner who I think lives above WPFW in a secret penthouse, because every time I turn on the radio, there she is, broadcasting selflessly and tirelessly. The only time she sees rest is when she looks it up in the dictionary.
You're a poet.
And that goes true with a lot of other people. The only time you see rest is when you look it up in the dictionary. The only time you see justice is when you look it up in the dictionary. But we need to figure out a way that we can incorporate more people. If this means having a daytime LAB and a nighttime LAB, so be it. If it means LABs in different cities, so be it. But we need to get away from the idea that there's one LAB, one time, and maybe a coordinating committee of LABs in different areas. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you again. I'm sorry to do this, but I need to ask people to really keep that comment short. We have four other stations.
It'd be very short.
Okay, thank you.
As a Caribbean sponsor listener, I think it'd be remiss of me not to put on record the Caribbean community's appreciation for what WPFW is doing. All the staff, and in particular, and I'll be very short, Gloria Minot, Cedric, I don't remember his name, Tony Carr, Von Martin and his excellent team, and he in particular, Caribbeana, is why I'm here today. And more specifically, Ambrose Lane, who has wonderful discussions and invites the Caribbean perspective on his debates. Amy Goodman, who stimulates a lot of the discussion in the Caribbean community. The African presenters who actually play Caribbean music as well. The many nights I'm dancing on my own in my home. And Caribbea for that wonderful Thanks for Forgiving Day. I actually had my 9-year-old nephew listening to an alternative idea of Thanksgiving. He didn't like it very much, but he enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Short.
First, I want to thank WPFW for having been so welcoming to me and giving me the possibilities to really use my various skills to make a difference in Pacifica. It's been incredible, and I'm really looking forward for much more, but it deserves a thank you, because all the staff, people who saw me on the outside when we were trying to reclaim Pacifica, can even say hello and kiss me and hug me now. I mean, it is amazing. So that, I want to bring that forth. As we talk about programming, there's also attitudes and things that have been wonderful. We talked about training a lot and mics and whatever. One thing to bring forth is actually in this program, Eddie Becker is doing an unbelievable job in reaching. Along the concepts of the constituency model, we are going to the communities that are supposed to be empowered and bringing them and training them. It's very important who we train. We're training at WPFW people who are committed to helping us do news and do the public affairs programming within the mission of Pacifica. And the training is not just mics and wires. It's also the grassroots mission of Pacifica kind of approach to doing the news from a nativist perspective. So as you set up trainings in other stations, or we set them up, please bear that in mind. I don't think we want to spend PFW and Pacifica's energy training all these think tanks that would love to have their message broader. We also need to nurture the capital's station, because we are going to be leaning on it as things get worse and worse. And we talked about that. Verna brought it very clearly, how a lot has to come from D.C. The same way as it will also come from across the country. So I want to, and this means really a budget line, because as we step up our productions, we are leaning on their resources, and it is a small station. So I saw it as I'm working with Peace Watch, and I want you as a board and the budget people and whatever to look and handle that. There is a third part of thing that we need to all be aware of. There are a lot of local stories that have national impact. I want to bring forth to all the airwaves, the listeners, anybody that can help organize, for a professor at Vanderbilt University in Tennessee, Jonathan Farley. He wrote an article, an opinion actually, that calls for the taking away the statue of the founder of the KKK. And this was at the tail end of when the students organized successfully to remove Confederate Memorial Hall from the name of their hall and keep it Memorial Hall. Within 3 days, National Confederate had a website that is calling for his removal, for shunning him, for not allowing him to write, and for also he's getting a lot of death threats. So this is Jonathan Farley at Nashville, Tennessee. And I will give, before the end of the day, for all the different stations, people, the paper information so we can do production to also help him nationally. But this is one example. There could be many local stories that have, and connecting the dots got to be also on that level as we build news and programming. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank
My name is Jim Brown. I am a lab member, local lab member, and I'm also.
Reintroduce yourself.
There we are. Okay. I think. Jim Brown. I'm a lab member and also a longtime supporter of WPFW. First, I'd like to say that it's very important for us to really think about our youth, and I'd like to commend WPFW and the work that we're doing here to recognize our youth, because we realize that this is an excellent mechanism to bring forth the future supporters and the future programmers of the Pacifica Network. And I'm encouraging all stations to sort of lead in that model, in WPFW's model, so that they can, in fact, start to build future people who are going to be interested and who understand the mission of Pacifica. And thirdly, I'd like to also say that I'm also a producer of a mental health program called Mind Talk with Dr. Pamela Brewer that goes out every Friday from WPFW to the national network. And I just wanted to say that and let people know that it is there right now. Pacifica is not offering it as a charge for it. I think it's free and it's available to all of the stations in the network.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, good morning. I will be brief. I'm Damu Smith, founder and chair of Black Voices for Peace and executive director of the National Black Environmental Justice Network and a programmer on WPFW 89.3 in Washington, D.C. Four quick points. Number one, for those of you who listened on October 26th during the National Peace Rally, I was next to the last speaker when the maximum number of people were there. Please recall what happened when I said WPFW and Pacifica Radio have been the only. The crowd went nuts at that point. They roared. They roared about that. Why do I start off with that point? Always, as we are debating what we're having to deal with inside of this station with all of our problems and challenges, let's start with our blessings first. People love us because we're doing something right, something that's going on. The second thing I want to mention is that I heard yesterday people talking about the need for us to deal with some of the other issues. We know we can't deal with every single issue on the table. But one thing is clear. The right and conservative folks have an agenda. Promote racism, take away our liberties and rights, wage war abroad, and cut back on human needs. Those four categories of things are things that we must address throughout all of our programming on WPFW and on Pacifica. Third point is I just want to say that the one thing I'm very concerned about within the peace movement right now, and this was before the Iraq issue got as hot as it is that the peace movement, I mean, I'm generalizing now, continues to ignore and neglect the issue of U.S. support for Israel's criminal policies against the Palestinians and the economic cost that it has domestically. And I think that we in Pacifica we got to keep that issue, even amidst the situation in Iraq, we got to keep that issue on the table. You look at today's Washington Post, the front page, about the settlement building and all of that. We've got to keep that issue there. Final point I want to make is that we have an incredible instrument, this Pacifica radio station nationwide. And I tell you, I was amazed as I move around the country, the kinds of things that people are saying. But more importantly, here in Washington, D.C., I can tell you as one of those people who did stop listening to WPFW. I was one of those people because of a lot of the problems. We have begun to gain new listeners back because of the programming that we're doing right now. And I know that because I give out my phone number, that 202-232-5690 number, frequently asking people to call in and comment. And I've told Tony this, and I've told Ron Pinchback this. I wish I could play those voicemails over the air. The voicemails are coming in. We love the new programming. We love what's going on. Yes, they may raise criticism, but they are really talking about the positive things. And I have the evidence on the voicemails. And I think it's important for us to do things like that all around the country, get the listeners recorded, play it over there, and that kind of thing. I want to really thank Tony and Ron Pinchback and other folks for the excellent job that they're doing making the station right.
Thank you. Thank you. I want to thank everybody who made a contribution, again, to Tony and
thank
to
you,
Ron and to the lab folks and to everybody else who got up at the mic and gave us a much fuller picture of what's going on here in Washington at the station and around the station. So I want to thank you all for doing that. We need to move on to the four other stations, and I need to add, we're not going to have as much time for the four other stations. And if you've paid attention as we moved around the country, the city that we are meeting in is always first to report and has always gotten more time. So that's why we did that, right? So I'm gonna actually even interrupt people, including station managers and lab chairs, if they're going on for too long. We're really going to have to tighten it up. You know, we did it special for Washington because that's where we are. So the next is WBAI, New York City. Valerie Van Isler, station manager, will open up, and then we'll hear from Miguel Maldonado, the lab chair.
Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Almost afternoon.
Yeah, it's almost that. As we meet this morning in this basketball court that's inside a church, there are faces on these walls smiling down at us. One of them is Cesar Chavez. One of them is Rosa Parks. One of them is, in fact, JFK. One of them is Eleanor Roosevelt. And one of them is the man who said this: "A time comes when silence is betrayal. Some of us who have already begun to speak, break the silence of the night, have found that the calling to speak is often a vocation of agony. But we must speak. We must speak with the humility that is appropriate to our limited vision, but we must speak. Perhaps a new spirit is rising among us." That person on these walls is Dr. Martin Luther King. For WBAI, this has been the year of living dangerously.
I'm sorry. Let me just do it. Folks, this is really, it is at the point of being rude and almost obnoxious. I don't know if you don't understand the problem, why you don't understand it. The sound in this room reverberates. Those of you up on the platform there, right, who are talking, we hear it down here. It's just because you're up there, it doesn't help us, right? Go out of the room. Marion, I'm going to start calling people by name. All right, Marion, please. Folks, Rupert, Marion, that whole crowd over there, please stop talking. Move it out. It is really annoying. Thank you. I mean, I don't know what else to do. Okay, thanks. So if we can again give our attention to Valerie.
Thank you very much again. Again, a year of living dangerously for WBAI and the entire Pacifica Foundation. We turned to a station back in January that was perilously close to chaos, dangerously close to bankruptcy, a year of such hazard for all of us and such risk. But we dedicated ourselves at that time to stabilizing the station, to crawl out of that chaos, to retreat from the insolvency, and to begin the rebuilding process to help establish the sound network for a stronger and better WBAI in the future. Well, this is 11 months later, so what have we accomplished in that time? And BAI is a place, of course, like no other. For one, we've raised more money than ever before in the history of the station. We raised nearly $2.9 million, almost $3 million this year. That was our total income. We have increased the membership base dramatically to over 20,000 members. This is the first time this has occurred in more than 25 years at WBAI. We have gone digital. New computer equipment and DSL projects have been completed. And along the way, we've made community radio history. We did a $1 million drive in January, February with a special, and then our February drive, and we came back and did that again in October. Raised more than $1 million in a single drive. And every single fund drive has been record-breaking for WBAI this year. Some of the other things we've done, and very importantly, is opened up the airwaves to the voices and the views of the great thinkers, the great visionaries, and the great artists of our time. And we've opened up the doors to provide access to many communities that the station has a mandate to serve. We hope we have prepared the way for a meaningful transition and democracy throughout Pacifica, but none of this could have been possible, would have been possible, or should have been possible without the extraordinary work of our staff at WBAI, including our program director, Bernard White, and many, many, many others, without the extraordinary generosity of our listeners and members and the community, and without the serious support that we have gotten from the national office here and the executive director. So it came at great price, but we have really gone a tremendous way to helping provide a better foundation for WBAI for the future. As we closed out that fiscal year, we did raise the $2.9 million. We did increase our membership base by over 40% from a low of 13,000 in January to over 20,233 in October. That's the base from which the elections will occur. And by expanding it by almost 50% more, that means there's going to be much more diversity, much more energy, and a much greater chance of people really being able to contribute to the station in the future. We broke all records for every membership drive this year. We had over 3,400 new members who joined the station in October. We had 63% of members have already paid, and 2,500 renewed their support. So the combination of record-breaking on-air fund drives, a big increase in our new members and our renewals, the major donor and the direct mail work that we did, programming that mattered, and programming that took some leadership, I believe really made the difference. Our staffing has changed. We went through a transition period here where 22% of the WBAI staff left by way of an arrangement with the AFTRA union. So we have had to rebuild almost from the ground up. During that time, I have hired temporary and interim staff because we knew that this was a transition period. So much work will need to be done by the new general manager in making those positions permanent, doing an open, fair, and democratic search process so that key positions like the public affairs position, development director, and others will be filled, hopefully as soon as possible. We've worked with the AFTRA union on contract talks. We are very close. We had hoped to be able to close those talks and complete everything by December. December is here. I hope we were able to do that, and we're giving it our very, very best shot, but the issues are really quite complex. But it's been a very good collaborative effort working with them in getting us to this point and moving the station forward so far. We have about 33 paid staff, 19 of them are full-time and 14 are part-time. And we have over 125 unpaid staff members who have organized themselves into a committee. We have recognized that committee as the bargaining unit for them. They have submitted a draft proposal, and we need to complete that. And that will be the first, when that's done, the very first unpaid staff union organization, I believe, in Pacifica. And that's a landmark, a benchmark, and I'm sure that WBAI is going to take care of that business. As I previously said to this national board, WBAI has and continues to have a very diverse staff. 59% of our online staff are from the African American, the Latino, the Asian Pacific, and other communities. So almost two-thirds are from communities of color. And about 29%, almost 30%, are female. That pattern of diversity needs to strengthen and deepen and continue with the outreach to many, many communities, not only bringing them in for the programming and the lab and the listener base, but also onto the staff. I think we've had a model record on this, really, for a long time, and may it continue. As to programming, some changes were made in the summer. They, especially in the public affairs and some of the arts programming, key work has been done with youth, so they are much more youth at the station. They are going into the digital programming, have in fact done that. They're actually on the air. We've had digital training projects and just regular training projects for them, and that's brought a real breath of fresh air to the station, and that really must continue because that youth, that segment, that core, that's our future, and we need to include them, expand, train them, develop them, so that they can go out and carry on the Pacifica mission for the station and for ourselves. During the October fund drive, there were some interesting statistics, I would say. Democracy Now! Brought in over $257,000 during our October drive. It was the single highest program in our schedule. Wake Up Call, our morning show, raised about $176,000 in pledge support. Several other programs did very well, but those two programs were absolutely outstanding. And one of the things that has come up during this board meeting is the cost of Democracy Now!, but here is the payback for Democracy Now!, and already more than half of that so-called contract they've raised at one station already at WBAI. So you've got to look at a cost-benefit analysis here. Historically, and this has been, I think, one of the great things we have done during this transition, is that the six national specials, from the Transmitter special through the Juneteenth, through the Reparations Day, to finally the Pacifica Archives special on November 19th, has delighted our listeners, activated them, brought them a fresh new sense of what Pacifica is, what WBAI is. The general managers, we were in the leadership for this day. Brian took it and ran with it, which I think is just fantastic. Not only that, he will tell you in his own report how well it did. And I'm putting on the table right now, given that success, and it's a terrific, tremendous success, Pacifica's anniversary is coming up April 15th, 2003. I'm putting on the table now that we do another special like that, reflecting Pacifica's history on our own anniversary come next year. Verna and Imperatives for Peace, a daily project, has done outstanding work. It is placed in our schedule during the later in the evening. It's not optimal. That really, really needs to change. I hope there's now the area and the openness to make that so, because it generated very positive feedback from our audience. We also carried the congressional hearings on the war resolution. In fact, we delayed our drive to do so. And we at WBAI was the station that really provided the leadership for that October 26th March on Washington, which gathered 200,000 people plus on the Mall, saying no to war, yes to peace, and let's move on a real agenda of progress here for all people. And we're very proud of that work, and that really must continue too. We've had equipment projects. They've been completed. We finished up the NTIA grant that was abandoned by the previous administration. So many positive things, including improving the physical plant at WBAI, because we had to, because the damage was so great from last year, because there were no repairs, because the staff had no equipment to work with. We didn't have pencils to write with when we returned there January 14th. I want to thank the National Board for the work that they've done this year in the innumerable months and months and months of meetings, the work that we've done together, their work on the Bylaws Committee, on the GM Search Committee. They have stayed the course, and we thank them for those efforts, and we know that they will continue and hopefully even deepen in the future as we move into the election period. For the Pacifica National Board, Once again, we value our independence and our autonomy. We are a foundation, six parts of really one unit, one organization. But we also need to be able to make decisions, hopefully wise ones. The responsibilities on all sides, including raising money here at the national board as well as at the station level. We ask you again to help provide us with that wise leadership, with that deep vision, and with that informed understanding of the issues. That means you can become with us a beacon to help guide us all safely home. Because of the benchmark achievements of the past year, BAI can now sail on to a safer harbor. And I mean safer harbor. We were so much on the brink of bankruptcy for months and months and months with hundreds of thousands of dollars in back bills, no credit given to us by any vendor. We have gotten past that point, but we are not out of the woods. We are certainly not out of danger. We have worked hard to reclaim the original vision of independent alternative media that we call the Pacifica Mission. And that mission, once again, is about a vision of greater justice, deeper freedom, genuine diversity, and true equality. That mission is about ideas, about stories, about people that can change our lives and do change our world. My message to the audience, to Pacifica, is that, again, we have a mission, we have a